Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, interviews, music, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Manifesting a world of freedom, health, peace, egalitarianism, and sustainability. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Kerry Plummer from the beautiful Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Kerry is joining us via Skype in Michigan. And Kerry is a founding member of Northern Vegans, so we'll hear all about them and the fabulous work they do, tremendous work. And they have an upcoming webinar this month that is very exciting, so we'll hear about that, as well as information about holistic health. And Kerry is also a singer-songwriter, so we'll be hearing some of her beautiful music and talking about that as well. This is part one of a two-part interview. Please join us again next week for part two of the interview with Kerry Plummer. Welcome, Kerry, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you, Marlene, for having me.
Well, you are a goddess. I really admire all the work you do, and I've enjoyed your YouTube videos with your music, too. I'd like to start out hearing about Northern Vegans.
Well, Northern Vegans, my husband, myself, and several others of ours, friends of ours, decided to start a vegan group in the Upper Peninsula, and we started that in 2006, and we wanted to get together with like-minded people and have social events in which we would have every month we would have a vegan dinner at a restaurant, and then we also had a vegan potluck each month, but that changed during this kind of lockdown phase that we're in, and we do get together for hikes right now, and then as the weather gets warmer, we're looking forward to some picnics as well, some vegan picnics. And we also always do educational events, and our educational events are usually, we usually target or attract people who are not vegan to come to see whatever movie or vegan 101 talk that we might have. But in this case, we're decided to do a webinar under the circumstances that we're in. And I think it's going to attract actually vegans more than non-vegans because it's raising vegan dogs and cats. And usually you are a vegan if you want to raise your dog or cat to be on a vegan diet. And so we wanted it to be free as all of our educational events in the past have been. And we're really excited to have you, Marlene, as a co-host, as well as Lisa Levinson from In Defense of Animals. And we're going to have a great panelists, including Dr. Armighty May, who's a vegan vet in California. Really excited to have her. Diana Laverder-Dunitz, who is a plant-powered dog. Matthew Sikora, who is a dedicated vegan and raises two dogs on a vegan diet. And we also have Dr. Susan Craig, who has, I don't even know how many dogs and cats, many dogs and cats, and they're all raised on a vegan diet. And we're going to have free giveaways, so we're excited about that, including two phone consultations with Dr. May. We're going to have two free plant-powered dog summits that people can have lifetime access to. And that will be for, I think there's like over 13 hours of material from people who are experts in vegan dog nutrition. So that will be awesome. And we also are giving away six $20 gift certificates to vegan online pet supply stores. And Dr. Susan Craig is so kind to offer free, she happens to be a vegan, she practices yoga, and she's going to be offering seven Zoom calls for yoga. Whoever would like to practice yoga with her. So we are really excited about this. And that's on Saturday, April 17th, between 2 and 4 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, I should say that. You can sign up. You can check it out on Northern Vegans on our Facebook page, northernvegans.com. You can sign up. We have a direct link there to sign up or register. We have an events page, which gives you the link to register, and maybe Vegan Nation will provide that link as well. So we're really excited about this event.
Yes. Thank you very much, Carrie and Northern Vegans. And I'm very honored and happy to be part of the panel, to be co-hosting along with Lisa Levinson of In Defense of Animals. And a great panel that you have. And tell me, how did this come about? What inspired you to sponsor a vegan webinar on raising vegan dogs and cats?
We've thought about this for a while, actually. I know my son, my vegan, almost 13-year-old son, would love us to adopt a dog or a cat. I think it'll probably be a dog. I know for a fact that we would want to raise our dog vegan. So I love the idea of this and that we can do this. There's been a lot of success stories. Dogs in particular can really thrive on a vegan diet. Cats can be more tricky, but Dr. Amity May and other people will be talking about that. That it can be done. What's really interesting that I found out years ago is that at least at one point, the longest living dog on record was Brambo. And Brambo, she was a border collie, and she lived to 25 years old and was raised on a vegan diet. So that gives you an example of that. You can not only, these dogs can survive, but they can really thrive on this diet too.
Well, that's exciting to hear and very important and very helpful. So thank you, Carrie. And it is wonderful that you have Dr. Amity May from Los Angeles who's going to participate. And, of course, the others, too, who are participating, Matthew Sikora and also Dr. Susan Craig. And I'd like to hear more about Diana with plant-powered dog. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, as far as Diana, I like to learn more about that too, but Diana is very much dedicated to advocacy of dogs being raised on a vegan diet, and she has a lot of information. I know that she's collaborated even with Dr. Pickern, if I'm pronouncing that right. Dr. Pickern is another vet, and he's written a book, and his latest edition covers homemade recipes for both dogs and cats on vegan diets. So she is a real go-getter when it comes to promoting plant-powered dog and really the benefits of it. Not just the ethics, obviously. As vegans, we have an ethical dilemma with feeding our animals other animals, but also just the health benefits.
Yes, and for Dr. Pitcan, I know the spelling is Pitcairn.
That's right. Yep. And his book is available, I think it's CompassionCircle.com, which is a vegan online pet supply company, and they have his book available and so many other great things on there. It's just wonderful, the access that we can have to some of these vegan pet supply and food stores. Hopefully, more of us will be able to transition, if we haven't already, our dogs and cats to a vegan diet. Because as we know, as vegans, we don't like the specious kind of mentality that's out there, and feeding our dogs and cats other animals from other species, and maybe Diana will talk about even the same species, because rendered euthanized dogs and cats will get into the pet supply food. So it's very disheartening when you hear about that and not wanting to really support that.
Right. So many important topics will be discussed in the webinar, and about whether it's the ingredients that's in the commercial flesh-based foods, as well as all the information from a medical standpoint with Dr. Amity May. That's really important. I look forward to hearing all the knowledgeable information that Dr. Susan Craig is going to share. She is amazing. And Matthew Sikora.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Matthew Sikora in Colorado also is very wise, so I look forward to all of that. And with Diana, again, I'm not too familiar with Diana, so I'm really happy that she's participating in the webinar that is Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats. And again, could you just give us a little bit more information on those who are interested and how they can register?
Oh, sure. They can go to northernvegans.com. We have a Facebook page at Northern Vegans. You can find us just if you just search Northern Vegans, and then our own events page, which is Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats, is the title of it. Again, it's free, doesn't cost anything, and there's some giveaways that will be presented to lucky participants. So it will be a really good thing for people to join in.
We're listening to Carrie Plummer, a founding member of Northern Vegans, and Northern Vegans is sponsoring an upcoming webinar on April 17th, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats. Thanks again, Carrie. And Carrie, I know that you're also very knowledgeable about holistic health. And so I'd really like to go into detail about that and veganism.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you. I became a vegan in 1989, about 32 years ago, and I was introduced to Diet for New America by John Robbins, which I highly recommend. He actually doesn't use the word vegan in that book, surprisingly, but I became a vegan. He uses plant-based diet. But I understood the horrific nature of raising animals for food. That was kind of obvious. I didn't really maybe know the extent of it. But also he covers healthcare in that book. And I was astonished to know that so many of the diseases of our time back in 1989, and it's no different today, are preventable. Whether it's heart disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, there's a lot of things we can go on and on about that are often human-induced based on our dietary choices and our lifestyle. And doctors aren't telling people about this. They're not talking about whole foods, plant-based diets. They aren't talking about non-invasive other approaches that we can go to, whether it's yoga, qigong, meditation, prayer. There's also wonderful things for pain, even acupuncture and craniosacral therapy. It's not their thing. They go to school. I don't want to generalize every doctor, but doctors I would say when they do go to school, they are taught drugs. And that is their first resort, not their last resort. So they want to medicate people, and they want to mask the symptoms that they have, where as a holistic vegan, I look at it like these symptoms are signals. They're a way to communicate with us that there is something indeed wrong with us and what we can do about that, not to mask, because when you mask, the disease will progress. And it's very exploitative, in my opinion, to do this to people, because the medications, they need stronger medications over time. They end up fouling through with invasive surgeries and other treatments that could potentially kill them or cause a lot of problems long-term to their health. It's like having a lifelong customer. They make a lot of money off of doing this. If you look at it in a way that I look at it, it can be very exploitative. And it's exploitative to the animals. I think people don't realize that maybe vegans do to it more so. But all drugs and vaccines need to be FDA approved. And in order to do so, they have to test on animals. Animals get tortured in the process. And animals are in the ingredients. Many drugs have animal-derived ingredients, and vaccines definitely do. And the question is, are these people getting healthier? Do we know people who are actually getting healthier when they continue to go on drugs, when they continue to take their surgeries? When they get vaccinated for the flu shot every year or whatever additional vaccines they might, are people healthier? Are they getting healthier? Well, I don't see it, and I know a lot of other people don't see it, and I know doctors who choose to not follow that orthodox will, they have to do their own research that was not taught in medical school. They will see it. And then we have medical tyranny. We have this medical system that wants a one-size-fits-all approach to everything. They don't want informed medical decision-making. They will shoo you out of your practice, out of their practice, if you don't follow their rules. And let's say you don't fully vaccinate your child, or as adults, they're going after adults now. If you don't get the flu shot every year, I'm 50 years old and I'm at that age now. There are now practices telling people, if you don't get your routine colonoscopies or your mammograms as a woman, you're out of here. You can't be part of this practice. And then you start to evaluate this as an informed holistic vegan. Where's the science behind all this? Well, actually, when you start to look at it, for colonoscopies, for example, they can be very invasive. There are always people that die from them every single year. The perforation from them for some people can be very long term. It could cause some gut health, which can affect our immune system. And it doesn't get to root causes. And it's not truly preventative, because I look at myself, if I'm on a whole foods, plant-based diet predominantly, I'm at much lower risk of getting colon cancer. And so I look at colonoscopies far more harm than any potential good that can come out of it. So I'm informed in that way, but I might have a doctor that says, no, you can't come to my practice if you don't follow the rules. That's medical tyranny. And that should be against the vegan value. Veganism in itself is a liberation movement.
We're listening to Carrie Plummer, who's joining us via Skype from the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Carrie is the founding member of Northern Vegans. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Carrie Plummer.
Hi, this is Elaine. Join me on alternating Tuesday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. for Crosstracks. I play a mix of get up and go R&B, classic soul, jazz, blues, and whatever else may strike my fancy. That's 6 to 8 a.m. Tuesday mornings, Crosstracks, right here on WCUW 91.3 FM or streaming live at WCUW.org, your community radio station.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Emma with the Regional Environmental Council, urging you to support Community Radio WCUW Worcester with a pledge of support to 508-753-2284.
Thank you for your support, and thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're very fortunate to be joined by Carrie Plummer via Skype from the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Carrie is a founding member of Northern Vegans.
We're out to liberate. We are for individual rights. We look at animals as individuals, not just as a species. We look at them as individuals, and we should look at humans as individuals as well. I mean, humans are animals. The vegan movement, in my opinion, it's an animal rights movement, but it's an extension of human rights. And we should be appalled by this medical tyranny that is happening. So as a holistic vegan, I really value body autonomy, and I also value finding things that align with my vegan values, because I know the pharmaceutical industry doesn't. I know the healthcare system, the medical system can be brilliant, brilliant when it comes to emergency care. But when it comes to chronic illness or even acute respiratory infections, I think they do a dismal job. And I don't want to be dependent on that. I don't want to be their lifelong customer. And I also look at veganism as a freedom movement. And medical tyranny is antithetical to that. It's oppressive. It's a violent act to force people to do something against their will. So I really hope people take the time to look into this, because whether it's Qigong or yoga or prayer or meditation or craniosacral therapy or acupuncture, I mean, the list, essential oils, the list goes on, vitamin D and sunshine and getting exercise. There's so many things that we can do beyond our vegan diet to be healthy, and it will help the animals. It will help the animals too. It's living in harmony. That's how I look at holistic veganism, is living in harmony with nature. It's something that we have to really think about. What if there was a legislator out there that wanted to take a right away to raise vegan children? And there was a legislator in Italy a few years back. She wanted to make it criminal to raise vegan children. That is medical tyranny. So as vegans, we would find that horrible. Well, we should also find all forms of medical tyranny horrible. And it's not based on science. It's based on fear-mongering. It's based on control. It's maniacal. It is cruel. It's oppressive, and it's violent, and it should not be tolerated, in my opinion, in the vegan movement. And another example I just wanted to bring up is cow's milk. We've been told for years, for decades, that cow's milk builds strong bones, and children need cow's milk to survive. As we age, we need cow's milk. We need dairy products to prevent bone fractures. Where's the evidence of that? Well, if you do some research on that, you'll find that there's no evidence. And the countries that consume the most dairy products happen to be the countries that have the most bone fractures. And we did not evolve, and this is being a holistic vegan, we did not evolve getting calcium from mammary secretions from another animal. We never have. That's not how we got our calcium. So when I become a holistic vegan, I think about being natural. the natural process of being human and what that means and being part of nature. We are a part of nature. Breastfeeding, I'm a huge, huge advocate of breastfeeding. It's so important. I breastfed my child until he's 4.5 years old. But I don't think a doctor should tell someone, if you don't breastfeed, if you have a pregnant woman that comes in, if you don't breastfeed, you can't come to my practice. That's medical tyranny. As much as I advocate for breastfeeding and know the science behind it, and know it's that wonderful spiritual bond between mother and child, you can't force people. Force is antithetical to veganism. So I really hope that vegans see this, because I have heard some like pro-vax vegans, and it doesn't make any sense. And even if you do vaccinate, and you should look into the research behind it, you have to realize that there is significant problems with forcing someone. Even if you do vaccinate, there might be one vaccine that you don't approve of, and you can't say no to it if you believe in mandatory vaccinations. You can't say no to it. It's medical tyranny, and I think it goes against our civil liberties, it goes against our Constitution, and it goes against veganism. And I wanted to mention just a couple of books that, I mean, I have a whole host of things I could recommend, but I love these two amazing books that I recommend vegans to look into when it comes to the healthcare system. One is Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. And this is an amazing book about the history of vaccines and the social living conditions that humans have been under. And I will compare it a little bit to today. We look at factory farms and we look at animals in these overcrowded, filthy, deplorable conditions that they are in. And they're being injected with antibiotics and vaccines. They are ridden with disease, chronic disease, and acute respiratory infectious disease. They're not lacking antibiotics. They're not lacking vaccines. They're in this condition that breeds disease. We need to take them out of that of those conditions. Dissolving Illusions by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys covers that on a human scale, and I really, really recommend it. And really the human rights issues behind vaccines, because it's been a human rights issue for a very, very long time. And then I also recommend Deadly Medicines and Organized Crime, How Big Pharma Has Corrupted Healthcare. And this is by Dr. Peter Gotcha, and he's Danish. I think it's spelled G-O-T-Z-S-C-H-E. And what an amazing book. And he doesn't get into animal ethics or anything, but he talks about the science, or lack thereof, of the science behind the healthcare system and what's being approved by the FDA and how they're making a lot of money, but no one's getting better. They're getting worse. And it's about patenting life and patenting drugs and vaccines that make money, because when it's a synthetic nature, they can patent it. When it's a natural nature, when it's purely natural, they can't patent it. They can't. And they know that. So they want to get away from nature as much as they humanly can. And then another thing, which I think a lot of the listeners probably are familiar with, the famous Dr. John McDougall. He's a plant-based doctor, and he has an excellent video on called, it's kind of a funny title, Up the Wrong Butt, and it's about colonoscopies. And I invite people to watch that video so we can know the problems, so we can become more informed of what maybe a colonoscopy actually is, and how it's very lucrative. It's about $1,200 to $1,500 for each procedure. There are alternatives like stool samples. And these stool samples are like $15 to $20 compared to a colonoscopy. So it's a very lucrative, and it's invasive, though. It's very invasive. So there are alternatives, not to mention prevention is really key, and that's about your diet and your lifestyle. A colonoscopy is nothing to do with prevention, and they know it. So I recommend that people just become educated and realize when you become a holistic vegan, I'm 50 years old. I'm not that I'm super old. I still consider myself pretty young, but I'm not on any medications whatsoever, and I don't ever plan to be. My husband and I have raised a vegan child, and I've been told 32 years ago that I can't be a healthy vegan, that I can't have a healthy vegan pregnancy, that you can't raise healthy vegan children. Our almost 13-year-old child has never been on any medications. We have never taken him to the doctor once for illness. He has no chronic illnesses, no asthma. He has never had a secondary infection like an ear infection. We have always treated his fevers with just love and kindness and hydration and maybe some vitamin C. We never suppressed his fevers, and there are excellent books regarding that, including How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor by Dr. Mendelsohn. I recommend that book to empower parents. He's been breastfed until he's 4.5 years old, and he's never been vaccinated. And I don't think that's an accident that he's a very healthy child because of all these components. It's not one thing, and that's what holistic veganism is. It's not one thing. It encompasses many things, but out of these many things, it never compromised our vegan values.
And Carrie, can you ad lib on one more thing, please, that we've discussed factory farming and what goes on, and could you talk a little bit more that all animal agriculture is exploitative and why that is
so? Yes, all animal farming is exploitative. There's no humane meat or humane milk. We understand that we as vegans look at animals as individuals, not as a species in that way. So we know that, you know, just because they're cows, there's not a certain way that you can raise them and kill them and take their lives during their prime and take away their children. That is not acceptable. Environmentalists, for example, who are specious, they might want to protect a particular species from being hunted because they're endangered. But once they're no longer endangered, okay, go out and kill them. It's totally fine. Vegans, no, we find that abhorrent. These are individuals. So we honor their individuality. And veganism is a, we believe that animals exist for themselves, not for human purposes.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carrie Plummer.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Carrie, as a longtime vegan, what can you recommend for our listeners that are a favorite for you and your family?
We eat pretty simply, and we have, like, love things that we just have veganized. One of the best things that we love is, like, refried beans and guacamole with some salsa in a tortilla. That is heaven to us. We absolutely love salads, including my son. He loves salads. A nice big green salad. I make pickled beets. I actually don't can them. Maybe I will in the future, but I just cook the beets and then I cut them according to whatever could be just like basic wedge-shaped size beets. And then I put apple cider vinegar in them and then let them sit in the refrigerator in a mason jar for a few hours. And then we love them on our salads. So we love fresh food. We love fruit. Any fruit you can imagine, we pretty much are game for. And we do love to go for the occasional sweet. Hot chocolate is yummy with like some vegan non-dairy milk. And we also love, my son absolutely loves this chocolate chip recipe I've made for years. It's all vegan. It's all organic, fair trade. And I'll make that as a treat. I'm sure I'm going to make it for his birthday.
Oh, that's great to hear. And happy birthday, Henry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Carrie, and to your family as well.
Thank you, Marlene.
That was Carrie Plummer in the beautiful Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Carrie is a founding member of Northern Vegans. Please join us again next week for part two of Carrie's interview. Northern Vegans is presenting a webinar on April 17th, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats. And thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.